92.3 WTTS. On demand.
It's 92.3 WTTS. I'm Paul Mendenhall with Conrad Anker from the North Face team. And in case you can't deduce that just from the name, the North Face team is a team of mountain climbers.
Paul, how's it going?
Real good. It's a pleasure to talk to you. We're talking to you in association with this movie that's coming out. This is about a particular adventure. Would you tell me a little bit about this?
In 1924, two English climbers, George Mallory and Sandy Irvine, disappeared going strong to the summit of Everest. And that was 29 years before it was climbed in 1953. 75 years later, in 1999, I came across the frozen and well-preserved body of George Mallory, and it was this big discovery in climbing circles. So fast forward 8 years, 2007, working with an English production company, we decide to make a film about George Mallory, his life, his times in the 20s, and what it was like to climb Everest, where no one had ever been. And then to tie that into a modern ascent. So we've got footage from the summit in 2007, and it's got historical context. It's a really great documentary if you're interested in the mountains and history.
How did you know it was Mallory's body?
We knew that there were two climbers that had disappeared in 24, and they were both from that trip. And after that, there was another expedition in 33. The mountain was closed up due to the war, and then the Chinese had closed it until 1980. So we knew that they had disappeared. And then when I came across his body on the 1st of May, 1999, looking at his clothing, I knew immediately that this was one of the pioneering climbers because everything was wool and silk, leather boots. Of course, nowadays we use nylon and synthetics, and our ropes are made out of nylon instead of cotton. So there's this time stamp. I knew this is one of the guys I came to look for.
Yeah. Now, the clothing, that's a real fascinating thing because I think we sometimes lose sight of the fact that these early explorers did not have the various weatherproof, ideal-type clothing. And you actually, from what I understand, during part of your climb to the summit, imitated this clothing. You actually wore some period clothing.
That's correct. We had period boots that were leather, hobnail boots. So imagine a leather boot with your kid's soccer cleats embedded in there, and then oiled cotton gabardine pants and welder's goggles and rabbit fur aviator's helmets. And I mean, it was great. It gave us a deeper respect for what these men were able to do in 24.
That must have been miserable.
Well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, everyone has a different definition of misery, but if I'm in the mountains and I'm looking out over a beautiful horizon, I'm happy, so I'll put up with a little bit of cold feet. And
I understand that this movie actually is a contender for an Oscar nomination in the documentary category this year.
Well, and so I wouldn't know. That's way above my pay scale. I'm merely the climber that horses around on here, so I'm not on production and all that stuff, but it's a great film, and it's nice. It's something for the whole family. It's rated PG because it depicts the hardships of mountain climbing, which I like. I mean, there's no profanity or anything else in there, no shooting or anything like that, but it depicts the hardships of mountain climbing. So,
but there is drama. As I understand it, there was a very emotional time when one of the actresses in the documentary had to portray Mallory's wife receiving the letter of his apparent, did they know he was dead? I mean, or he was missing at least.
Yeah, it was, it's a great film in that we were able to pull together an A-list of English actors to read the letters and everything. So Liam Neeson is the overall narrator, and Ralph Fiennes is the voice of George Mallory, protagonist of the film. And George Mallory's wife is read by Natasha Richardson, the late wife of Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, very famous.
And so she was. She read the letters, and it's very poignant. It's emotional, and she has a great voice. So it's a story about English exploration, and we were able to pull together a top-drawer crew of people that could really put it into the context.
How many times have you been up to the summit?
Summited Everest twice, so I've got 10 toes, 10 fingers, and a nose. So
that's great. That's very good. I understand, and this is just why somebody who's never been within, you know, 5,000 miles of Everest is hearing, not well on the street or on the internet or whatever, but is Everest becoming strewn with bodies?
It's not. I mean, people think, oh my gosh, there's been 200 fatalities. And this is 200 fatalities going back to 1921. And they're not, it's, I mean, people think, oh, every other step you're walking over a corpse or something like that. So there's, most of the time, the bodies are carried off the mountain by natural forces, avalanches, and gravity. And then in other cases, they're buried on the mountain, similar to a burial at sea at the request of the family. So it's a lot cleaner and less spooky than it's made out to be in the popular press.
Yeah, and we're in such a time where I guess people have so much discretionary income, some do, and they can go pursue these bucket lists, almost kind of adventures, or do something really wild and crazy. Are there people that don't belong that are attempting to scale Everest?
I don't think so for a second. It's sort of, mountains are pure anarchy. If you want to go and climb Mount Everest in your swim trunks and your headband, you're welcome to go do it. And the mountain's going to sort you out. And so,
oh.
If you want to go there, you can climb it. And I'm not one to say your level of experience is not adequate or anything like that. There's, for as a expert climber, there's plenty of places I can go that have challenges remaining. And the fact that there's two routes on Everest that are designed to take the novice up there working with guides is a great thing. And these people, in many cases, they'd probably be out hunting tigers and rhinoceroses instead because they've attained the station in life where they've got discretionary income. So I'm happy they do that. They employ a bunch of Nepali and Tibetan people, and it's a good thing. So it's I'm not one to say, oh, you can't go there because you haven't climbed X, X, and X. But if you go there and you get into trouble because you're inexperienced, it's your own darn fault.
You know, on a similar line, this really doesn't have anything to do with mountains, but it does have to do with adventure. I pick up the newspaper this morning and I see there's another very young girl, 14 years old, from the Netherlands, who proposes, I believe, to sail around the world in a yacht. And we had this other girl that had an unsuccessful trip, ran into some high seas, a United States citizen. Are people, what's your take on this? I mean, can you support this kind of thing? I mean, these young kids like this?
I'm totally psyched for them. And, I mean, you look at the young man that climbed Everest, I don't know, he was 12 or 13 or something, and it's, yeah, they're extreme cases, and I wouldn't send my kids up there or to climb Mount Everest or sail them around the world. But we are, as a nation, are facing a childhood obesity. Our kids aren't getting out there exercising. So if these young kids, by sailing and climbing, can motivate other kids to unplug and to go outside and challenge themselves and to exercise, it's a worthwhile thing. So the inspirational benefit of these kids doing this, I think, is a great thing. And secondly, it's not in my position to tell any parent how to parent their kid. Short of the parent abusing the kid, if that kid wants to go out and sail and they've got the background and they feel comfortable with it, it's probably the parent's prerogative to support that child.
And Anthony Geffen, the film's director, also got very hands-on with this, with The Wildest Dream?
Yeah, he was with us and climbed all the way up to an elevation of about 25,500 feet. So he was excited to get that high.
Was he any connection to the Geffen Records empire?
Yeah, I think there's a nephew or something like that. But cut his teeth and was in the entertainment business out of London.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing The Wildest Dream, featuring your recreation of this 1924 George Mallory, who did it because it's there. To see your recreation of that. And we look forward to seeing that at our local IMAX theater.
Great, Paul. Thanks for your time.
92.3 WTTS on demand.